It's the best, hands down.
It's crystal clear.
I love it. The things you can make are awesome.
No one else has quality epoxy like this.
It's easy to mix.
Tim is such a wealth of knowledge.
It's gotta be iCoat.
Welcome to the Resin Mastery Podcast, exploring iCoat epoxy. So welcome back to Resin Mastery Exploring iCoat Epoxy. Today we have a special guest that we're interviewing, Anne Niebsch, and she is one of our creators and also an author, and we're going to be speaking to her today. Anne, how are you?
Hi, I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me, and great job pronouncing my last name. I love that, yeah. Niebsch.
A lot of good guessing and a good bit of instruction there. Today, for everyone as well, Rachel's out today, so I'm going to be doing this interview solo with Anne, but we're wishing Rachel all the best in her getting well soon. Mm-hmm. So Anne, let's just dig right in. Who is Anne Niebsch, and tell us, everyone, about what you do?
Let's start off with a pretty deep question. So I'll just say, my name is Anne Niebsch. I'm in Winter Garden, Florida, which is just outside of Orlando. And I'm the artist and owner of Mindful Tree Art and Floral Preservation. I am blessed to be the mother of three boys, and I have three dogs, and I am blessed to be where I am at today, which is running this business. But I feel like I need to just take a pause and go backwards a little bit to kind of talk about my journey to where I am today, because I was a single mom early on. I was 20 when I had my oldest son, and I was a single mom all through my 20s. And that really changed who I was as a person, my trajectory in life. And it taught me these survival skills and this ability to drive toward things that I knew that I wanted and needed in life, especially because of the responsibility of raising a child on my own. So I moved down here to Florida and got a job and really worked hard to be the mother that I needed to be. I put myself through college. I became, a senior director at an educational company at a school here and managed, a business intelligence team. I managed large scale CRM implementations. I work for admissions. I work for marketing. I work for sales. And I developed women in leadership training programs for our company because I felt that there were no women around me in technology. And I thought, why is this happening? So I really worked hard to empower others to come have a seat at the table. So I was doing that for 20 years, working in corporate America, really had no time for creativity. Like none. I remember, when you go to a business meeting, everyone's like, what do you do in your spare time? I'm like, what are you talking about? What are your hobbies?
Yeah, right.
What are your hobbies? I'm like, what do you mean? And there was zero time for creativity because, it was in a high-paced job, project management, presentation, data analysis, you name it. And I realized there was something missing in my life, here. And of course, I eventually got married and had two more children, but there was this gap, there was a void. And I'm like, what, something's missing because I keep getting, people have these hobbies and they do these things. And I knew I loved art, but never really took the time to figure out what that was. So, I eventually started taking yoga teacher training. I was still working and I was practicing yoga, which really gave me a chance to stop and be mindful and be present, especially outside, especially in nature. And it was right around that time that the pandemic hit. So I want to say, that all of that really led up to this complete change of what led to the creation of Mindful Tree Art and Preservation was this really, really hardworking, stressful time in my life to a time of realization that I was void of something to then the recognition and the experience of discovering that I had this creativity. And so here I am today, almost 6 years later, running my own business, preserving flowers.
Now, what I find beautiful about your story is there's a lot of people out there who have creativity within them that they go, I can't do that. I'm not good enough to do that. And then they wonder, well, if I wanted to do it, how would I ever get started? And we talked in the pre-show a little bit about you do
these vision boards. And I think that's absolutely brilliant. We talked about New Year's resolutions and goal setting. But I think as advice for anyone out there who's listening to you, Anne, and is saying to themselves, how can I become what Anne is? You take the first step. Write it down somewhere. Write it down or tell someone. You know, there's a one of those old ways of making sure you lose weight at the start of the year or get fitter is to find someone to go to the gym with, because then they hold you to account. You know, we actually do it through our men's group within our Bible study. Is when someone needs support, we have someone that holds them to account. And that's the only way to get to where you want to get to. So I loved what you said about the vision board. So
for sure.
Okay. But obviously the question people are going to ask is, so how did you get involved in flower preservation? Why that and not, you know, playing karaoke or out there making a record?
So I want to talk real quick about something you said, and then I'll talk kind of about my journey and how I got into that. But I truly believe that we are all on this earth for a reason. I truly believe that it is to share with others. And I think that that all is a piece of art. I think that we are all given this innate sense of creativity, art, whatever you call it, whether it's making music, whether it's drawing, whether it's pottery, whether it's art, floral preservation, whatever it is. I think we all have that in the center of ourselves, and we're all gifted with it when we're, I believe we all have it. And I think that it's our life's job to figure out what that is and to share it with others. And that was kind of my journey where I realized, you know, I had this void. I realized I wanted to start dabbling into flower preservation, but I just truly believe that everyone who thinks, oh, you know, I can't do that, or I don't have time, I'm like, yes, you can. You need to give yourself the space and the time to figure out what that is, because you have it inside you. We each have it inside of us.
100%.
1,000%. We each have it. So you have to create the space so that something can grow. And so that's the first bit of advice is, yes, anyone and everyone has it. And I truly believe if you can make the space and put your mind to it, you really can do anything that you want. Now, is it going to be too up to your expectations or this, you know, what we were in a very perfectionist society, but I believe that if your heart's in it and you love it, then you can do anything. So with that in mind, I realized I needed to create something. And this is right around the early of the pandemic, right? And things were shut down. I was working remotely. I was teaching yoga classes remotely. And I just started painting on my walls. I was kind of going through a thing, but I was painting, you know, trees and sunsets and murals. And I was taking a lot of nature walks, and I started picking flowers and pressing them. And very quickly, I started making jewelry and bookmarks, and that led to an Etsy shop. So was doing that, was working from home, still working my full-time job. And, you know, the thing about making jewelry and bookmarks and using resin is you're using molds. And so my mold makers were selling these large blocks for larger preservation projects. And I'm like, that's interesting. What is that? And so I started researching, you know, there for bouquet preservation. So I just started buying molds, larger molds, buying flowers from the grocery store, drying them. I had tons of resin. I didn't know what kind of resin to use. I had no idea what I was doing. You should see the boxes in my studio. They're filled with just ridiculous things, you know, pouring too much resin and having it cure fast. I can't get the mold off, or, you know, having the flowers come apart because I didn't dry them long enough. I mean, you name it, it was ridiculous, but I didn't stop. You know, I'm like, I'm going to practice. I'm going to keep doing this. It's, you know, and so I just, you know, created more items, added to my Etsy store. And at the end of 2020, I thought, you know, I had a conversation with my husband. I'm like, I really love doing this. I think I want to offer a service to my community to preserve wedding bouquets. What if I try out the wedding industry? So created a website. I created all of the mold. Like all, I bought all the molds, made all the sizes. And in fact, all of the original samples I created are still on my website today. So everything I created in 2020, their pictures are still there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put it out there. Cause what's the worst thing that's going to happen? No one's going to book with me. Okay. Well, I teach yoga. I work full time and I have an Etsy shop. Okay. So no one books with me, but you know, I did some branding. I made sure I had inquiry form. You know, I put it out there. I'm like, let me just put it out there and see what happens. Literally 2 months, like into 2021, it blew up overnight. I remember going on vacation and I was getting emails and inquiries and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And during this time I was talking, you know, I was at farmers markets. I was talking to wedding vendors. I was doing wedding events. You know, I was really putting myself out there, but early 2021, holy cow, like overnight, crazy, crazy time. And I know I have many friends who do this as well. And it happened around the same time for everyone. But it just, 2021 was a huge year. And by the end of 2021, I had to quit my job and do this full time because it was just an insane amount of requests. So I'm always thinking like, what's the worst thing that could happen? Well, no one can book with you or everyone can book with you. And now you're working like crazy. So that's pretty much how it happened. I mean, it was a lot of small steps, a lot of being open for what's possible, a lot of letting myself fail and fail fast and try again and experimenting with resin and to keep trying over and over and over again. And then realizing I really love doing this and I do it really well and I like what I'm doing. And then it became a business.
You made me chuckle with something you said, because I remember being on vacation when I had my own business years ago. And the most orders we ever got was the day I decided to go away with the family.
Of course.
And God's laughing at you going, hey, you wanted this, right? You know,
you're on vacation? Yeah, no, you're on vacation? No, silly you. Can't do that.
So what are some of the favorite things you make?
So, you know, of course, I preserve flowers for wedding events, for memorials, for any event. And I'll say, it's not what I make that's most, that's what I enjoy making. It's, I love the memorial projects. And so I'll tell a little story, because life is about happiness and sadness. You know, it's about life and death. And preserving flowers, I know I'm exposed to very, very happy moments and very, very sad moments. And I have to give the same level of love and attention to someone who's mourning the loss of their loved one to someone who just got married and they're on their honeymoon. But I do enjoy and cherish the memorials. And so, you know, a mom reached out to me about a year ago. She lost her 1-year-old daughter to a car accident. Oh. And she had, the stories are, and stop there, you know, as a business owner and as the artist, you are exposed to these tragedies. And that's why in my book, I do talk a lot about mental health and why that's important. But, you know, you're given this gift of story. You're given this gift of life that someone's sharing with you about their loved one. And I'm like, what an amazing gift and trust that someone is telling me about the life of their daughter, how it happened, how they've recovered, how they've started their own little crochet business because of it, and how they want the memory of their daughter to last for a lifetime. And would I please preserve their flowers and include pictures of her in this preserved flower preservation. So I'm like, you know, what beautiful gift that I have, that someone has shared this with me and I can give this back to them and provide this service to them so they have something that lasts them a lifetime and for their children's children, for their grandchildren. You know, this is not going to go away. It's going to exist forever because it's epoxy resin. It's never going to go away. So I'm like, what amazing gift to give back to someone. So I like those. Those are very meaningful to me. But to, you know, answer the question too, anything that's special, like your pictures, cake toppers, wedding invites. People like to include like any type of knickknack things in their preservation. I love including those. You know, that's what makes it special and fun. And you have that artistic element. So at the end of the day, the memorial preservations are just so meaningful to me. But I love doing all of them. All of them are super, super special.
What a beautiful responsibility. One of the things we've heard from a lot of the people that we've been interviewing for this show around using epoxy resin is that they've all had experiences with bad resin. And one of the things with bad resin is, and you mentioned something lasting a long time or forever, the cheap stuff's going to look terrible quickly. And, yes, you know, one of the things I appreciate about Tim, who runs ICO, is that his passion for this industry and his appreciation of quality, and he's not wanting to compromise the quality, where I'm like, you know, you could make a ton more money if you did this. He goes, I don't want to deal with that hassle, and I don't want to be putting out their crap into the world. And he has people call him up and say, I can get this stuff cheaper in China. And his answer is, go right ahead.
And can we just talk about Tim for a second?
Yeah.
Like, Tim is, you know, and I think that there's a part of this that we've got to talk about, which is when I started using iCoat. But it was during a time where I was using another company's resin. And they went through a shortage and they didn't have it. And then the batches I used right away turned yellow, like just really bad. And I don't know the full details of what happened, but I do know it was very frustrating, scary, because resin is the core to what we do. Resin is the most important thing of this business. If I can't get good resin, mix it right, and have it react normally, then I have no business. I'm out of business. So to go from a company that did not have good resin to finally finding Tim, who took the time to sit and talk to me, to talk to other flower preservationists, that took the time to, you know, be on Zoom calls and text messages and phone calls, to be available at any time to help with sampling his product, with using it. You know, to me, Tim and iCoat are lifesavers for when I started using the resin right when I first launched that first year. And I just, to this day, I could never go with someone else, because also the resin's good, but also I feel like he cares about everyone who uses his product, which to me is, as a small business owner, that's, you know, there's nothing that beats that. Like, some other company could be like, hey, use mine and I'll give you discounts. I'm like, I don't need a discount. I want a person and resin that cares about the product that I know I can trust.
And he continues that. That's who he is. I talked about to him about how can you scale because there's only X amount of hours in the day, and you've got a wife and you've got a family and you've still got to do your own thing. But he's constantly talking to people. It's kind of amazing and a real tribute to him. And then it made me think, can you imagine if that memorial for the 1 year old looked like crap 2 years later?
I think about that all the time. Yeah. Right. I know. And that's goes into, you have one chance. You have one chance to preserve flowers. You, from whatever event it is, you have one chance. And that's the risk. That's the hard part of this job, is if you mess up, it's done.
Yeah.
And so if you're using bad resin, if you don't know what you're doing, if you pour it wrong, if you have not the right environment conditions, it's not good. It's not good at all. So that's, you know, huge risks there for sure, if you're not using the right resin for sure.
So you obviously are a teacher as well, and you offer courses. Tell us a little bit about the courses you offer.
Sure. So, you know, I wrote the book, The Art of Modern Flower Preservation, which is essentially broken up into three parts. It's the first part is about the art. So just really how to preserve flowers, drying to design to color correction, and why you need to color correct, and design and finishing shipping. So all of that. The last two parts are about how to build the business So everything from marketing to customer service to the customer journey and touch points that you need to email. I talk a little bit about AI and how to leverage that, to, you know, reviews on Google and how to ask for a review, social media, things like that. And then the last part is about mental health and setting boundaries, imposter syndrome, you know, getting burned out, things like that. So in addition to that, I created courses, video courses that can be, you can purchase the book or you can purchase the book and the video courses. And the video courses are all just visuals and really hands-on tutorials on how to do every aspect of the floor preservation process. And I did get asked, why on earth would I share all of my processes and secret sauce on what I do? And again, it goes back to, I really believe that we all have something to share in the world. And if someone really wants to learn how to preserve flowers, I'm happy to share how I do it, because to build a large scale company and business is way more than just learning how to preserve flowers. There's a lot more that goes into it. And I know there's a few very large flower preservations business that are doing very well, but I chose not to go that large. I scaled way back, but I want to share my knowledge. And I don't think that how many people could buy this book and take the tutorials. I don't think that 100, even 100 people would put me out of business. I just don't believe that. And I think there's enough weddings, there's enough events in the world that anyone can preserve flowers. Anyone could create a small business. You could create a large business. I just don't think that's going to do anything to me. And it provides me great joy to share what I've learned. And if it helps someone just a little bit to get it, you know, to figure out the resin, which is the biggest part, but if it helps you just a little bit on how to set things up, do it, because everyone has something unique to offer. And I feel like I just wanted to share what I've learned to help others grow as well.
And from what I understand about the stats for the industry, and I follow this closely, one, it's on a huge growth curve, minimum 7% annually. This is the epoxy resin business. The wedding preservation business probably isn't even covering 5% of weddings so far.
Wow.
And when you add in memorials, and you added something that I hadn't actually heard before, cake toppers. Right? Because obviously epoxy, the right epoxy is food safe and food grade, like our iCode epoxy is. Others aren't. But ours is that. So you can put it in food or on top of food. You don't want to eat it, right? Crunch your teeth. But you can make things for cake toppers. I think that's a brilliant moment. But within there, you talk about gifts for bride's group, the bride's family who are paying for the wedding, gifts for the bridegrooms and the bridesmaids, the bouquet preservation, all the other mementos that come around just a wedding. And again, we've had other people tell us they're not at all, like you said, worried about competition. There is so many weddings out there.
Yeah.
And people aren't going to stop getting married anytime soon.
No. And that's, you know, we said earlier, our existence on this world is life and death. And this industry is preservation of those times of the birth of children, of marriages, of, you know, loved ones passing. So, you know, I had to scale back, actually. And there was a time in 2022 where things were just so busy. And my husband and I went to go look for a commercial building because I work out of my home. I worked out of my garage in a room downstairs. And there's no way I could keep the intake of like 100 projects a month.
Yeah, the scale, right?
On the scale. There's no way. And I was burning out. I was burning out very quickly. And we were looking around and trying to figure it out. I just looked at him and I'm like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. This is taking away every ounce of joy I ever wanted. I don't want to manage teams of people. I want to be the artist. I don't want to hire artists. I want to be the person in control of my product. And I just feel like this is not what I want to do.
That is a great business decision you made there, because I think other people just fall foul to the treadmill. rather than understanding what is their true north that they want to get out of getting out of bed every day. Is it running the business, making money, or is it the art form and the inner peace that you get with something you love doing?
Yeah. And the money can be, that financial money, I'm doing all this and I'm doing this. And that's very distracting. And that's why I looked at him. I'm like, I'm not here. I want to create art and create something special, and I want to make just enough. I don't want to do all this huge scale. So I scaled back. I went, took the time. I still create small, keepsakes that I love to do, and had to really pull really, way back, because I was like, I can't keep doing it like that on scale.
So what's the one thing that you wish you would have known when you got started that you've learned over time? Is there one
thing? Yeah. I'll say the biggest thing, right? So when I started floral preservation, it was this exciting opportunity. I'm going to create this, have this business. I'm going to preserve wedding flowers. And I thought, everyone is going to love me. Everyone's going to love the product I'm making. Everyone's going to love what I'm giving them. It's going to be great. And, unfortunately, we're dealing with humans who are not all the same. And we're living in a culture of, there's Instagram filters and things are made to look perfect when they're not. And there's this expectation of Amazon delivery that you get overnight. And floral preservation is not any of those. Right. It is perfectly imperfect. It is preserving nature. And sometimes there's expectations that people have that are just not true. And I'll give an example. I had someone reach out to me. They want me to preserve their white bouquet. So white flowers always dry a medium ivory. They're not white. And it's hard to get them back to white. I'm sure I could paint them heavily with white paint, but then they look fake and then they're not in their truest form. So, I explain over and over and over again that flowers dry differently than when they're fresh. But my point being is, the one thing I wish I had known is that there are people out there that may not like what you do, that will complain about your product and will give you a bad review. And I wasn't prepared for how that would affect me. I consider myself very hard. Like I am an emotionally, very emotionally stable person. Not a lot of things affect me. This job I is the hardest job I've ever had in my life. And it's because of the human element, whether it be dealing with a hard loss of a loved one versus someone who created a Google Doc and took pictures of all the tiny imperfections of their resin block because they are expecting someone different. So, I look at that as a learning that I could have done better setting expectations. I can do better on social media showing that what the true nature is of a block, but I wasn't prepared for how mean people can be and how that affects your mental state.
That's a great piece of advice. Yeah. And it makes me think, because I dealt a lot with music and musicians in my past. When you pour your heart into something and it's critiqued, even if the critique's right, it cuts.
It takes a long time to go over it.
And you don't want to become numb, because if you become numb, then you really don't care and you might as well just be making widgets. It is a tough thing to go through. So I think that's a great piece of advice, especially for people getting started, which flows into a question that I think I'm just going to make a comment and make a discussion with you, which was, I had a question around, for someone experimenting with DIY, it's fine to experiment, but again, you don't want to be falling into that trap, right, of doing something that's really special for someone with no experience. And hence, the fact that you've got courses that can help people get there, I think is really powerful. So let me find a question. So if you had someone come to you tomorrow and said, hey, listen, I got your book, I've never done this before, but someone wants to pay me $1,000 to preserve something, it's only going to cost me $200, I'm going to do it, fire away with your advice to them.
Please don't do that. and here's why, because I want you to do the art. I want you to learn how to do it. But I'll say I experimented for a good 6 months before I took my first booking. And when I say experimented, I made hundreds of keepsakes, and I wasted a lot of resin to do it. And so I fully applaud and support anyone wanting to do this. And that's why I wrote the book and I created the videos, so that you have that to help you to spend the time to learn to do it. But as far as DIY, you have one chance to preserve your wedding flowers. You have one chance to do this, to do it for someone else. And I have other friends that are artists as well. And I mean, I feel like I get messages several times a week of people saying, I tried to preserve my wedding flowers and they turned out awful. What did I do wrong? Or, you know, I preserve my wedding flowers and the block looks like this and it's all wavy and filled with bubbles. Like, can you fix it? No, you can't fix it. You can't, it's done. And so that's why, you know, you have to take the time for yourself to practice. Does a doctor who, you know, he doesn't perform surgery the next day as soon as he gets out of school? How many years do you have to go to school and do clinicals and internships before you can even meet, you know, do any type of procedure? It's the same thing. You know, you've got to practice with the resin. You've got to understand the molds. You've got to understand how flowers dry. Even flower drying, some people will say, well, and I dried flowers and I followed the directions on the silica gel packet. It said 3 days. I put the flower in the resin and the flower turned brown. I'm like, because it's not dry. You have to understand, like, flowers dry differently. I understand there's information there, but that's why doing it over and over again, you understand you've got to let it dry for several weeks, or you've got to make sure you're using an airtight container, or you've got to make sure your silica gel is recharged. I mean, insert a million reasons why. So yeah, don't, something that's very special, let a professional, someone who's done it for, you know, for a while, do it. But to do things on your own, you know, there's a lot of information already out there. Of course, I have the book and the courses that I would love to help others, but you definitely need to take time to learn before you offer to do it for yourself or for anyone else.
If there's one thing I've heard as a common theme, is that there are fundamentals to flower preservation or working with resin, but the real genius comes in understanding the nuances. Mm-hmm. Do you need to use a vacuum chamber? Did you get the right type of epoxy? Because not all epoxies are the same. Tim has a great video covering that. There's everything from like countertop epoxy through depth. All of the iCoat ones are for specific uses and they're explained in there, but they're all different.
Right.
They all have different cure times and a myriad of other things that can be done on there. So we talked a little bit about, but when's the book coming out?
So it is in the final stages of editing. I didn't realize how hard it was to write a book and edit the book, but it should be uploaded to all the e-readers like Amazon Kindle and things like that in the next week. And so hopefully by the time this podcast is available, being listed, it'll be available. It'll be available on my website, mindfultreeart.com. And the courses, of course, will be available to purchase with the book. But this month, this month is it's absolutely coming out. That there's no change from that. So I'm really excited to get that published.
That's great. And what we'll do for our listeners at magazine.icoatproducts.com, we're actually going to have the book featured there as well. So you'll be able to come there and there'll be links into Anne's sites. Perfect. To actually order that as well. And we'll have some other goodies from Anne on our site. So you can actually see what she does and then it'll all link back into her. So, Anne, you know, you're so blessed with what you do. And we covered a little bit earlier, but, you know, what words of inspiration would you have for someone who's actually listened to this, says, I want to do this, I want to get started? What are the words of inspiration to get them moving?
Yeah, I just encourage, again, you are blessed with some type of creativity. We are all given that gift. And so take the time to explore, take the time and be patient with yourself, practice, start somewhere. And it doesn't even have to be with flower preservation. You know, I painted pots and sold them on an Etsy store. Like I drew a picture, you know, painted acrylic paint and painted, sold planters. You know, I painted my studio, you know, start somewhere, even just get some crayons and start coloring, but find a way to include some type of art into your life. That's music, color, flower preservation, you know, even starting small. Like I, early on in the pandemic, I would take these walks, nature walks, you know, my name is Mindful Tree Art, but I would take these nature walks and I would pick wildflowers. And I would press them in my books. And then those were what made my first set of bookmarks. And so, you know, start with that. Try not to think that you have to be this huge business and have this huge website overnight. Life is about incremental steps. It's about being patient with yourself and exploring what works for you. So that's my advice, is to be patient with yourself, have fun, really listen to your heart and your intuition, and see what feels right for you, and just keep working at it. Keep doing. Not everything is done right the first time. And nothing's perfect. So please don't hold yourself up to another business or artist that's been doing this for 5 or 10 years. Do what is best for you and start what works for you, and it'll happen. Things will flourish and grow in ways that you're not seeing, but eventually it'll happen. And we all have that journey ahead of us.
Great. So for our listeners, the book is The Art of Modern Flower Preservation, a guide to building and thriving in your creative business by Em Niebsch, the owner and creator of Mindful Tree Art. And how do people get in touch with you?
You can send me an email at mindfultreeart@gmail.com. Of course, my website is mindfultreeart.com, and also my Instagram and Facebook, Mindful Tree Art. So direct message and email, you can fill out. I do have a training link on my site if you want to be the first to get the book and a discount off the book, the early bird discount. I have a lot of people that have already messaged me wanting me to tell them when the book's ready. So if they're interested in that early bird, just fill out that form. But yeah. Or come down to Orlando and let me know you're here.
and when it's ready, I'll actually buy, if you do a signed copy for us, and then we can promote that for you online as well, because
I would love
it's really valuable. This is a beautiful art form that people are doing. There's such a need for it. There's no one we've talked to so far who hasn't said they're not really busy, which is beautiful, because it means that there's an absolutely bustling industry out there that just takes people with the patience, the determination, and the artistic way to actually make this something that they can actually make money in, make a lifestyle out of, and enjoy the beauty of it, and find, like you said, do they want to build a big business with it, a small business with it, or just do it as something that's an art form for them?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Anne, thank you so much for being a guest on our show today. Again, Rachel's out, and we're wishing her the best in her recovery from her sickness. But yeah, until next time on Resin Mastery, Explore an Eye Code Epoxy. Anne, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.